Hi, and welcome to the AA Grapevine. I'm your volunteer reader, Shelley Miller. Today, I will be reading from the July 2025 issue of the AA Grapevine. Some of the articles we'll be covering in this first part for the month are celebrating 90 wonderful years of AA. Let's get started. Our first story is called The Meeting Tree, submitted by DM in Bellingham, Washington. A beautiful thing happened at the 1990 Seattle Convention, which proves we do go to any lengths. 2 years ago, I attended a men's AA meeting more than 90 miles from Seattle. In the hall were photos of the International AA Conventions of Seattle, San Diego, Minneapolis, Toronto, and San Antonio. The topic of the meeting that night was carrying the message to the alcoholic who suffers. When it came my turn to share, I was reminded about the 1990 Seattle International Convention, which my wife, my daughter, and I attended. So I shared about that. My wife and I each had 5 years of sobriety then, and our daughter had 3. We had joined the volunteer staff on the host committee. My wife speaks 4 different languages, so the committee assigned her to help out near the convention registration building. When the convention meetings started to open, many people could not get into them because they were overflowing. So they came to my wife in frustration. Quickly, she told everybody to stand under a tree nearby and wait for others to join. Within seconds, other members showed up, and she sent them over to the tree too. For the next 3 days, impromptu AA meetings started happening under that tree, and they kept going. By noon Sunday, there was no grass left anywhere near that tree. After I shared that story, a friend and fellow member of that men's meeting came up to me and asked, "So your wife started the meeting under the tree at the Seattle Center near the fountain?" "Started? What? There's still a meeting going on under that tree?" I asked. He said there was an annual meeting at the Meeting Tree in Seattle every year to celebrate that event. It's been going on since 1990. That was the first time I had heard of it. I checked with the intergroup office, and for the first time, I and my family and some friends attended. Our little family of 3, my wife, our daughter, and I have combined sobriety time of 110 years now. We are all very gratefully sober and now somewhat better informed. Our next story is entitled Lighting Candles in Poland by Michael of Podhale, Poland. A longtime member in Poland shares about the wonderful growth of AA in his country over the past 40 years. "I'm an alcoholic from Poland. I got sober in 1986. I first learned about the existence of the AA Fellowship from an article by Victor O., who described his participation in the 50th anniversary convention of AA's founding in 1985 in Montreal. His article motivated me to seek help because despite being only 28 years old, I was already facing serious problems due to my drinking. At that time, AA in Poland was just beginning to develop, and there were only a few dozen groups in our country. I live in Podhale, and our first local AA group, Nagrani, was slowly forming in nearby Nowy Targ, and it's still active today. When the political system in Poland changed and the democratic reforms came, the number of new AA groups increased rapidly. I got to participate in many efforts to carry the AA message to various towns in southern Poland and witnessed the birth of many new AA groups. I also got the privilege of serving in every possible role within the group structure, as well as the general service level, where I served as a member of the Board of Trustees. By the mid-1990s, there were about 1,000 AA groups in Poland. I gained a broader perspective about AA by serving as the English National Delegate at the European Service Meetings in 1993 and 1995 in Frankfurt, Germany. In 1995, my friends and I attended the AA International Convention in San Diego, marking AA's 60th anniversary. It was an unforgettable experience and gave me a deep love and gratitude for the Global Fellowship. In 2002 and 2004, I participated in the World Service Meetings as our national delegate. This allowed me not only to represent our country, but also to visit the GSO office in New York. I also went to Stepping Stones, Bill and Lois's home. While there, I and another Polish delegate attended several Polish-speaking AA groups in and around New Jersey. And when we also traveled to Akron, Ohio, where we got to see Dr. Bob's house. There is a certain uniqueness to AA meetings in Poland. One custom that exists in many groups in our country is the lighting of a candle during the meeting. This may be a legacy of the early days when many AA groups were formed in church halls, as those were the only places where groups could meet. Another Polish tradition is the collection of voluntary donations in a hat. A distinctive feature of Polish AA is the highly developed cooperation with the prison service, which has resulted in the formation of about 20 groups operating in prisons or detention centers. It's estimated that there are currently about 2,800 AA groups in Poland, although this number may now be lower, as many small groups did not survive the COVID pandemic. However, a great alternative that helped us get through this difficult period was the creation of many online meetings. After Poland joined the European Union in 2004, a massive wave of migration from Poland occurred. As a result, Polish-speaking AA groups began to emerge in many other European countries, and in 2013, those meetings united to form the Thriving Region Europe, which also participates in the work of the AA General Service Conference in Poland. Sometimes it's hard to find people willing to take on service roles here. However, there are many deeply committed members of the fellowship, which has led to significant increased activity in our public information efforts. These efforts intensified in 2024 as we celebrated the 50th anniversary of AA's founding in Poland. Press conferences were held in various cities, often led by our friends, Class A trustees, whose contributions to the development of the Polish Fellowship have been vital. This has also led to greater media interest in the functioning of the AA Fellowship. One issue that sometimes arises is the strong tendency to promote an agnostic approach to the 12-step program, or, on the other hand, the tendency to associate groups with the Roman Catholic Church in Poland. The latter often stems from historical circumstances, as before 1989, during the communist era, church halls provided by parishes were among the few places where the fellowship could meet. I would also like to mention that we now have a full canon of AA literature in Polish, which is widely available thanks to our well-developed literature distribution service. Another area where misunderstandings occur is in the various forms of sponsorship, which really only developed in Poland after 1996. However, I believe that the efforts in this area are much better today. In the pioneering days of AA here, members often unknowingly sponsored each other, usually through service work. This led to a significant increase in the number of AA groups in Poland and beyond. For years, many Polish-speaking groups have been operating in the U.S. and Canada. The Polish Intergroup East Coast was established in the U.S., resulting in the Polish-speaking District 43, which became part of the American service structure in Area 44. For the past 5 years, I've been the editor-in-chief of the Polish AA Fellowship's bi-monthly magazine, Zdrój, which will celebrate its 40th anniversary in 2025. Thanks to this, I've been able to observe the annual General Service Conference for a few years. I have the opportunity to compare the work of the current conferences with those from the 1990s, in which I actively participated. I see a significant difference over the years. I can confidently say that the intense emotions of the past years have given way to a substantive discussions conducted in the spirit of love and responsibility and service. This gives me hope for the future. It makes me believe that we can provide a great opportunity to reach hundreds of thousands of alcoholics still suffering. Our next story is entitled Missionary Man by Ron M. in Belpre, Ohio. A struggle to change his life became a wonderful journey to help alcoholics all over the world. I had just left my optometrist's office. While driving home, I was thinking over my conversation with the doctor. He said I had the beginning signs of AMD, adult macular degeneration. Suddenly it dawned on me, oh my God, I'm going blind. Instantly my mind went into warp drive. What will happen to me? I hurried home and immediately called my sponsor. I shared my anxieties and fears. Why is this happening to me now? After all, I had been sober for 17 years. I prayed, read the big book, and went to meetings almost every day. Why would this happen to me? I asked. There was a long silence, and then my sponsor replied, "Why not?" I almost hung up the phone on him. How could he be so cold? But then he went on to say, "When God closes one door, he opens up others." In the coming days, my sponsor and I worked through the steps again, concentrating specifically on steps 3, 6, 7, and most importantly, 11. I was reminded that step 11 tells me I am to seek through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understand him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. After reworking the steps, my spirit was revived. I began to feel God-guided instead of emotionally driven. I accepted my new diagnosis and knew with God's help I would be okay. Knowing more would be revealed. 2 years later, I had to give up my job as a delivery driver due to the progression of my AMD. I soon began working with a small missionary group of men preparing to go to Central America to help build an addition to a church. When we arrived at this small village in the northern mountains of Honduras, I discovered one of the local church members was an AA. Since he didn't speak English and I don't speak Spanish, we shared our stories through a translator. What a miraculous experience that was. He invited me to go with him to an AA meeting that evening. I went, although I didn't have a translator. There were 3 Honduran fellas and me. They were reading from a big book that was falling apart. It was the only one they had. And although we didn't speak each other's language, we definitely spoke the language of the heart. They would look at me, read, smile, nod their heads, and I responded with the same warm nod and smile. After our mission trip was over, I returned home and went to my home group. I told our group about the deteriorating big book they were reading from. With their approval and support, we shipped them a case of big books along with a case of 12 and 12s. 5 years later, I was on another mission team to Honduras. We were about 20 miles from that first mission's trip's village. We went over to see the building that we'd worked on 5 years earlier. I met my AA friend again with whom I shared stories. He told me the AA meeting we attended had grown from 4 members to 20 members, and they were now starting another meeting in another village. "Hey, I need more books," my friend told me. When I returned home, we sent them another 2 cases of books. They were gratefully received. Thanks to God, instead of working that old delivery job, I was able to help pass on the AA message to alcoholics who needed it. What a jubilant feeling. God was indeed opening doors. Another time, while visiting Inca, Peru with a missionary team, I was asked if I could help a local pastor start an AA meeting at his church. He told me his father-in-law was an alcoholic. He said he had other family members and members of his congregation and people in the community who were afflicted with alcoholism. Going through the general service office in both New York and Lima, Peru, I was able to help him get the information and supplies he needed. Again, more doors opened. My most memorable and spiritual experience happened on a Sunday morning in a small town in western Kenya, Africa. I was one of 5 people in a small prayer team that went there. Our team leader was a pastor, and he led the church service that morning. He said our team would be there for a while and asked if anyone wanted to pray one-on-one with any of us. For a while, no one was coming over to me. Suddenly, here came this Kenyan fellow, slowly walking toward me with his head down, looking at his shoes. I could see that he was an older gentleman. "Good morning," I said. The man nodded his head without looking up. "Is there something in particular you would like to pray about?" I asked. He gently raised his head, looked up at me with sad eyes, and said, "You probably wouldn't understand." I looked at him and said, "Let's talk. Maybe I can help." He raised his head a little bit more and quietly said, "I have a drinking problem." Wow. I looked up at the sky and said, "Thank you, Lord." I was the only one on our team who was an alcoholic, and he came to me. I knew in that moment that God brought us together. I asked him if he would like me to tell me a little bit about his particular concern. At first he was reluctant, but he started to share, and as he opened up, he became more comfortable. He'd been a successful doctor at the hospital in this little town and had lost it all to drinking. He lost his wife, his children, his job, and his self-respect. After we prayed, I introduced him to the Big Book and explained to him how this could help him recover. He and I talked at length about AA. When we were done talking, we both closed with a prayer. When he looked up at me, he was standing taller. His eyes had been the brightness that was not there before. "Thank you for giving me some hope," he said before he walked away. My heart swelled up inside. It was an astonishing moment. The next morning, my team and I left for Nairobi. Oh, what I might have done for that man and what he did for me. In the following months and years, I ministered to people in 10 countries on 4 continents. It was amazing how many doors were open for me. It was far beyond my wildest imagination. I think back now to the day my sponsor told me that when God closes one door, he opens others. To think I was in denial that God could and would if he were sought. Today, I am not entirely blind. Yes, I did lose a lot of my eyesight. But I now know that I'm in God's sight, and that makes me eternally grateful. The title of this story is Warm Thoughts from Iceland by Snorri S. in Reykjavik, Iceland. A father in Reykjavik shows how AA gave him an amazing life full of wonder, service, and joy 26 years ago. I was 14 when I picked up my first drink. It was thrilling. I had found a way to get out of my shell. Confidence, swagger, and foolhardiness were suddenly available to me. Me, who had always been a shy, introverted, timid kid. It changed my life for good or worse. I will never really know, will I? I grew up in the suburbs of Reykjavik, Iceland, in a very ordinary middle-class family. 3 kids, 2 cars, garage, parents with jobs, and extended family around. Everything seemed dandy. I did experience some fighting, animosity, and violence between my parents, and sometimes there was drinking around the house, but nothing out of the ordinary. After many years of sobriety, I was able to seek therapy, where I realized that all of this affected me much more than I knew then. But it didn't make me an alcoholic. My drinking did. My drinking escalated fast. I was an A-plus student at the age of 15, but a few years later, I was failing high school miserably and felt terrible shame because of it. Drinking controlled my life way earlier than I could have imagined. I suspected as much pretty early, but I couldn't admit it. All my alcoholic mess-ups were somehow always someone else's fault. Fast forward a few years, I'm 28 and hitting my bottom. My life revolved around drinking every day, sometimes even starting as soon as I woke up. I was binging for days without drawing a sober breath. My prospects in life were dwindling. I had been tending bar for a few years at this point. I didn't really want to be a bartender anymore, but I couldn't think of anything else to do. Where else could I be drunk on the job? I had gotten married and the marriage was failing, so I was faced with the grim reality that my life was in shambles. One cold November morning, after 20 hours of nonstop drinking, a window of opportunity opened. I had a moment. I saw that I had to stop completely, and I needed help to do so. I had tried stopping many times before on my own willpower. I even tried controlling and managing my drinking, trying all the tricks in the Big Book, but I didn't know at that time that that's what I was doing. So I went to AA. My younger brother had gotten sober before me, and he welcomed me to his home group. I immediately felt at home and haven't had to look back since, by the grace of God. I had arrived. I made that group my home group. Right away, I got involved in service, got a sponsor, read the book, took the steps, and started helping others. My sobriety became my most treasured asset, and still is. And as I grew in confidence, I started to pursue my dreams. One of my dreams was to study abroad. I was 28 when I got sober, a school dropout with no qualifications. At 2.5 years sober, I managed, due to some good orderly directions, to get myself into a technical certificate program in New York City, the city of my dreams. I was thrilled to be embarking on this adventure, but I was also terrified. What was AA going to be like there? What would it be like to stay sober in the city that never sleeps? What about my AA network that I had to leave behind? I had gotten used to my AA bubble in Iceland. The meetings there are small. Most meetings have less than 30 people. Once you've been sober a couple years in Iceland, you've kind of met everybody in town who's sober. We run into each other on the street and in coffee shops. Iceland's general service office was located in the clubhouse where my home group met, and there was one person working there. That was the entire staff of AA in Iceland, and still is. I didn't know much about AA internationally when I moved to New York. I had never been to a meeting outside of Iceland. Before I left for New York City, I looked up meetings there online. The only thing I could find at that time was the 12th Street Workshop. This was before the meeting guide app. Information about AA wasn't like it is nowadays on the internet. On my first day in New York, I went to the 12th Street Workshop and immediately fell in with a crowd of people in AA. I got a meeting book there and was overwhelmed with the number of meetings in the city. My hometown, Iceland, had a handful of meetings, quite many for a small town actually, but New York City was something else. Soon as I settled on a home group and started getting connected, I spent my weekends, when not in school, going to different meetings all around the city. Having access to AA on that scale was amazing. I never ran out of meetings to check out, but I soon found out that just like in Reykjavik, it's all about the home group, getting plugged in with the service commitment, creating and nurturing your sober network. I finished my studies and decided to stay in the U.S. I ended up living in New York for 16 years, met my wife, had children, and created a wonderful life. Then we decided New York was not for us anymore and moved back to Iceland. Living in the U.S. was an amazing journey full of wonder, but it also had its challenges. Dealing with immigration authorities and financial issues made it hard to raise a family there, but AA was always there for me. When I got back to Iceland, I did the same thing I did in New York. I dove headfirst into AA again. Some of my old friends were still there. I soon noticed that my old home group had changed, and I wasn't so fond of it anymore. So I started a new group in the mold of my New York home group. I've been sober now for 26 years, and my gratitude to AA is as big as it was when I got my 90 days. My journey has shown me that AA is different everywhere, but at its core, it's the same. I have traveled all around the world sober and try to make meetings wherever I go. There's nothing better than walking into a new AA room in a faraway place and feeling that warm welcome, the experience, the shared looks and the smiles. Whether I'm in Reykjavik, Buenos Aires, Cape Town, Fort Worth, Amsterdam, Bangkok, or New York City, the spirit is always the same. The size of the meetings may be different, the local customs may vary, but one thing remains the same. The language of the heart is universal, and it keeps saving me one day at a time. Our next story is entitled This Beautiful Planet by Steve N. in Simi Valley, California. In December of 1989, when I was sober 14 months, I traveled to Berlin, Germany. Access to East Berlin had just been granted a month before. When I crossed at the checkpoint into East Berlin, the East German border guards looked through my day pack, checked my passport, and let me in. As a student of history, I started walking right toward the Brandenburg Gate, which I soon found was surrounded by barbed wire and armored cars. I turned back and headed for Checkpoint Charlie. It was a very cold day, so I stopped into Little East German Cafe to warm up. I'd been there just a few moments when a lady asked if she could sit in the chair next to me. I said yes, of course, in the best German I could muster. Just then, a young man who I had not noticed earlier was now standing behind her, and he asked if I was American. I immediately thought, oh golly, is this the feared Stasi secret police? I quickly decided to tell the truth. I said that I was, and he then said, you're from California, aren't you? In shock at this observation, I said, yes, I was. Your name is Steve, isn't it? He said. Now I was even further shocked and acknowledged, yeah, that's my name. The man then explained that he remembered hearing me share at an AA meeting I was leading at a church in Los Angeles when I was sober about 8 months. Oh yeah, I think I remember you, I said. You came in late with your father and your brother for support. The three of you talked to me after the meeting because you said you heard something from me you could identify with. You're right, he said. That was me. Since my early sobriety, I've traveled to countries around the world, and I always seem to find my AA family. Anytime I walk into a meeting anywhere in the world, I feel like I'm in a safe house. At times, I've even attended meetings spoken in foreign languages. I don't understand, but my spirit picks up the language of the heart, and I always feel better. I remember once arriving in Rio de Janeiro, and just 3 hours after passing through customs, I was at an AA meeting. The members there invited me to the meeting after the meeting, where we sat along the beach in a beautiful outdoor restaurant, where I got to enjoy dinner with my newfound Brazilian friends. What a gift to travel this beautiful planet and to find my AA family no matter where I go. And that's all the time we have for the AA Grapevine. You have been listening to the July 2025 AA Grapevine. This is part one of three for the month. Thank you for listening. My name is Shelley Miller, and I've been your volunteer reader. Stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds.